text that we happen to read from 1 Peter traces the gift of prophecy, of which John the Baptist was the greatest and final fruit of this gift to Israel. It says here, first, talking to us in an absolutely marvelous way, and telling us about our own prophetic gift. Although you have not seen him, you love him. That's prophecy. How is it that though we've never seen him, we love him? You see, faith is part of prophecy, or prophecy is really part of faith. And even though you do not see him now, yet you believe in him. And you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What a pure gift that we would know Jesus Christ, that we would know who he is, and that we would love him, believe in him, and have an indescribable and glorious joy. Now that joy may not always be so overwhelming, but it's always there. In times of real darkness, all of a sudden we realize how we're carried by this gift of prophecy. We're carried by this knowledge. Faith is a way of knowing. Then we have this story of the Baptist. Why is it that we have make him so large? You know, in the Eastern Church, you have the icon screen in front of the altar, you know, and on one side is John the Baptist, and on the other is Mary. Israel, giving the world its Messiah. And there is this gift. Once in a while, the Lord gives prophecies to us. We have a word for the community, a word for them. He gives us understanding. What a gift that God would do that. God led Israel through prophecy. There was the king. Some were good, some were very evil. But there was prophecy. Always the word of the Lord being given to the people to keep alive this truth which totally exceeds us. God's plan for the whole human race, intimated little by little. In many and various ways, God spoke to our fathers through in the prophet. It's the way the letter Hebrew starts, as you know. What a gift. This gift of knowledge that goes beyond what we could ever attain, so that our lives can be brought in to the deep movement of God by which he is bringing about the salvation of this poor world, which is in such dire need again today. And again today, there's prophecy. Clear words. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. And as usual, there's great opposition to prophecy. Because it confronts us. God's ways are not our ways. Now the greatest of all the prophets of Israel was John the Baptist. He's the culmination of that whole process. How many graces. We know the great prophets. We know the three who wrote a lot. We know the 12 who, at least whose writings are smaller, called the minor prophets, only because their writings are less Who were they? How enlightened were they? What kind of a burden did they carry in their spirit because of this enlightenment? What kind of contradiction? What kind of opposition? You read later on in that same letter to the Hebrews, what happened to them? Many of them. And here we have this man, and we know, in his prophetic office, he stood and confronted Herod. Now, this man wasn't stupid. He knew that that would cost him his life. But if he's a prophet, he has to speak. He has to, for the sake of protecting all the confused people. If our leader can get rid of one wife and take another, then we can. And John had to call attention to the whole, in the sight of the whole nation. That is a sin. You cannot do that. You are in a state of sin. To try to save Herod, but to protect this whole nation, chosen by God, to be the one from whom the Messiah himself, God made man, would be born. What a gift. To this day, the church lives by prophecy. To this day, the church lives by prophecy. Without that power of word and of life, where would we be? How easily we would settle down into a respectable religiosity and never, never know the truth. We have prophets and martyrs and who live the truth. Some prophets are prophets by gesture more than word. When you look at the incredible disparity between rich and poor and the suffering, and then you see a Mother Teresa, there's Jesus. That's the way he cares about the poor. Right? You see? When there's confusion, oh my Lord, confusion, mental confusion, and people like confusion, because they think it, we all do, because it lessens our responsibility. Well, I wasn't quite sure abortion was wrong, you know. And they're the prophets. We've had two in a row sitting on the chair of Peter. Yes, they're theologians, but theologians can be prophets. In fact, theology, when it's real theology, it's prophecy, because it's proclaiming the truth. And so we honor today this dispensation of God who has instructed us now for three millennia about who he is, about his will, prepare us for difficulties, clarify our minds. It's a wonderful grace. So what we do today, we honor this man who was the greatest of all the prophets of Israel, the one in whom that whole vocation, Israel's prophetic vocation, is summed up. And we honor God, who made him that way, who strengthened him, and who continues to give to the church prophecy. Prophecy. This is the mind of God. This is the will of God. This is the way. Walk in it. So we should be very grateful to God that having made us with minds, he enlightens our minds. Having made us with understanding, he gives us understanding. And we are going to need a lot of understanding and light and strength to adhere to the truth as the Lord leads his church into this next period.